Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we take the next few moments to come and meditate upon your word. We have a life that is challenging. We have a life that sometimes is very confusing. And we ask this morning, Father, that we might be able to hear your words, not the speaker. We want to hear and understand what you are saying to each one of us individually. Father, I thank you for the privilege of handling your word. I ask for the privilege that you might speak through me and I be able to open your word to an understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Before I say anything, I have to apologize. I take a medication, and one of the side effects is a runny nose. It works very well. I apologize. A man accompanied his friend home for supper one evening. He was very impressed as they entered the house, and the man asked his wife, "How did your day go?" And then he told her that she looked very pretty. The two of them then embraced, and she went ahead to the kitchen and prepared the meal. The husband complimented his wife after the meal and said how wonderful it was and thanked her for it. So when the two fellows were alone in the parlor, the visitor asked, "Do you always treat your wife that nicely?" "Yes," the host said, "of course I do. She deserves it. And it makes our marriage that much better." Well, the fella was pretty impressed. So he thought he would go home and try the same thing. So when he arrived home, he walked in the door and he embraced his wife. And he said, "You look wonderful." And then to add a little bit more to it, he said, "Sweetheart, I am the luckiest guy in the world." To that, his wife burst into tears. He kind of looked at her. He said, What's the matter? What's going on?" "Well," she says, "what a day. Billy got into a fight at school. The refrigerator quit and spoiled the garbage. And you come home drunk." Sometimes when you change your routine, it doesn't always go over the way you thought it would. But I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I wish we had a crystal ball that we could look into the future of this new year coming up, 2020. It would be nice to be able to know what we were going to do and whether it would work, or what we were going to do and it didn't work, so we could stay away from it. We could know ahead of time that the car was going to break down, and we could put away a bit of money to either fix it or replace it. We could foresee our medical situation and prepare ourselves for what might come. Or we could tell what our kids were going to do and what the fallout from that was going to be. But the unfortunate news is, there is no crystal ball. As a matter of fact, Google won't even help us. There is no way that we can prepare ourselves to face what this future might hold, whether it's good or bad. However, this year, this new year of 2020, also brings us joy, happiness, and well-being beyond what we could imagine. We have to take that and set it aside. Some wise guy said, "This year we will all have 2020 vision, so we should have a good year." There is, however, a sure and definite way that we can face the surprises of 2020 and know that we will come out the other side in good shape. And that is to allow Jesus Christ to strengthen our faith and to further open our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit that lives the present in our lives. Our scripture reading this morning is a composition by the Apostle Peter. Now, I think that Peter, when I think of Peter, I think of a very large man in stature, rough, strong, and very impulsive, ready to take on whatever stands in his way. Yet, as we read the stories that Peter puts in his epistle, I find a man with a caring, sharing, and compassionate heart. A man who knows firsthand how easy it is to fall away from the grace of God. And he's ready to go on with life. A man whose weaknesses gave him the strength to understand. In 2 Peter, he compels us to be confident of the salvation that we have received. He tells us to remember that the sins of our former life are forgiven, but the snares of everyday life can distract us and weaken our faith. I want to share with you again the scripture reading that was read a few minutes ago, but I'm going to read it this time from a translation written by Eugene Peterson, a close paraphrase of the Bible entitled The Message. And if you don't have a copy, I would suggest you try and find one, because he does make it much clearer. In this writing, Peterson explains to us how we can continually make our faith stronger and more alive by receiving all the blessings that God offers us in our salvation. Peterson's words, Peterson's translation. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately Jesus Christ, who gave us the invitation to know God. The best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolute terrific promises to strive for. Our ticket to participation in the life of God after you have turned your back on a world corrupted by evil. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your life, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. With these qualities, you can see what's right before you, realizing the beauty of life with the promises of the salvation of Christ. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you will have a life on firm footing. The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Peterson's writing explains that when we open our lives, when we open our hearts, and when we open our trust to the promises of the Lord our God, the basic faith that we have in our life today will be enhanced. And the power and grace of our certainty in Christ will grow stronger, so that we will know the assurance of our new home in heaven. Isaiah 41:10 assures us by saying, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see, that's what the word grace means. The grace of God is a promise. When we let go of the fear that the world puts in our mind, and when we abandon the frustrations and disappointments of our own expectations, God, through His grace, will step in and He will fill our hearts and minds with His righteousness and His love, so that our lives will become free and strong in the faith of Christ. Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Dr. Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral, he points out, faith is the heart of life. He says, you go to a doctor whose name you cannot pronounce. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You take it to the pharmacist that you've never met, and he gives you medicine that you have no idea what it is. But through faith, you take it, all in trusting sincere faith. In Philippians 4:19, Paul writes, "And my God will provide all your needs through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The riches of God are not what we think of when we say the word riches. The riches of God are the very quality that Peter spoke of in his writing. Riches that will enhance your faith. Riches that will help you grow. Riches that will open our lives to the grace and the assurance of God Himself. But there is one thing we must do. We must receive those riches. We must live within those riches. We must allow those riches to make us stronger in our faith. The gold rush of 1849 had people from all over the world traveling to California with dollar signs in their eyes. They were going to strike it rich, and it didn't matter the work or the troubles that they had. And some of them did, made it rich. But most of them, they just worked. The gold rush of 1849 had people, This phenomena was started by James Marshall, who discovered gold in Sutter's Creek. You would think that a man responsible for starting the whole enormous gold rush would have died knee-deep in great wealth. Ironically, Marshall died in the late 1880s as a penniless, wandering prospector, just a few hours from the place where he first struck it gold. His fortune was never realized because he failed to stake his claim. An individual can know all about God and the abundant life that he offers. We can read and study our Bibles from cover to cover. And we can give to the homeless, we can give to the church, and we can do a great amount of work. But if we don't take the time to claim the promises of Jesus Christ that He offers us at our salvation, and He offers us to continue to grow, we have to live a long-lasting commitment to our Christ. And then, and only then, we will experience the promises of eternal life. I love the passage in Revelation 3:20, where Christ writes, "I stand at the door of this new year, and I knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and live in them. You see, Christ doesn't try and beat the door down. He's not demanding that we let him in. He's not making promises that he can't keep. When Christ knocked on the door, he was hanging on the cross. He buried our old sins as he lay in the grave. He opened the door to his Father's house as he rose from that grave. Christ offered us God's grace so we may build the faith that we have in him and be assured of the promise of eternal life in heaven. Today is the 19th day of the new year, 2020. Each and every one of us here this morning have a fresh and exciting challenge ahead of us to grow stronger in the faith of God, to build upon the great faith that we have in Christ and live within his presence, to know that the Holy Spirit has come into our lives and we can live much better. Peter gives us this advice. So don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given. Complement your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the other. With these qualities achieved active and growing in our lives, no grass will grow under our feet. No day will pass without its reward. Strengthening each as we mature in the faith of our Master Jesus. As we begin our journey through this next new year and even a new decade, the lives we live can be either stressful or peaceful. It can be either frustrating or exciting. It can be either ineffective or productive. It all depends on the strength and godliness that we continue to accept from Christ. The salvation of Jesus Christ's death is not so that troubles and frustrations of this world will not bother us while we're here on earth. The salvation that we received from Christ's death is a promise from God that when we live in the grace of his love and the strength of our faith, he will walk us through this life with a peace and ability only he can provide. And then we can be assured of that place that he has prepared for us and promised for us to be. May Christ walk with each one of us in this next new year, and may he bless our path as we go.